1 Peter chapter number 1, I'm going to read verse 14, 15, and 16 and talk about holy living. Holy living. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 14, 15, and 16. Holy living. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written. Now that's a very important phrase. It is written. It's not only expected. It is written in the Holy Bible. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Since we're a good group of people here tonight, we're going to read out loud verse 14, 15, and 16, and then we'll get into the preaching. So let's read aloud, beginning at verse number 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. I read this, John Calvin said this. It is bidding us to be holy like himself, or in bidding us to be holy like himself, the proportion is not that of equal, but we are to advance in this direction as far as our condition will bear. And even as the most perfect are always far from coming up to the mark, we ought daily to strive more and more. And we ought to remember that we are not only told that our duty is to be holy, but that God also adds, for I am holy. I know you didn't catch it all, so I'll read it again. Listen to what he said. In bidding us to be holy like himself, the proportion is not that of equals, but we ought to advance in this direction as far as our condition will bear. And even as the most perfect are always far from the coming up to the mark, we ought daily to strive more and more. And we ought to remember that we are not only told that is our duty, but that God also adds, for I am holy. I believe holiness is an important doctrine of the local New Testament church. And I do believe it is one that has been overlooked in much of my preaching. I preach a lot on sanctification or such like things, but maybe we don't strive and to preach as much on holiness as what we ought to. Holiness is important. And it's not only important for young people. It is even more important for those of us that are adults. Holiness. And it doesn't take much leaven to leaven your whole life. Holiness. Now, I want to look again at verse 14, 15, and 16. Look at it here. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Now, that's something that was in the past. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And he's talking about our present state with God in this present world. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy, the commandment of the Lord. I want you to turn in your Bible, just put a little marker there, and I want you to go over to Leviticus chapter number 11. And if you've never read through Leviticus, it is such an important book. Not because we are the Jewish nation, but because it lays the foundation of holy living. It lays the foundation for the children of Israel to practice certain things and then not to practice certain things. And it's very important that we understand that even though we are not the nation of Israel, God has given us certain things that we are to practice and certain things that we are to abstain from. And unless we understand that principle in our lives, we will begin to act in a manner that is totally contrary to holy living. In fact, we'll be like those of Jude's day who will turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. And that's where many of our religions are at today. Do whatever you want, ever how you want, all is acceptable under the word grace. Now here in Leviticus chapter 11, God is giving them the commandment of what to eat and what not to eat. And so there was a strict dietary law for the Jewish people. They could eat certain animals and then they couldn't eat certain animals. And they could eat certain fish and they couldn't eat certain fish. They could eat certain birds and they couldn't eat certain birds. And so God was giving them this way to live. But look at verse 44. And of all the places for God to insert this in the Holy Scriptures, He doesn't do it in the sacrifices. He doesn't do it in the commandments, per se, but He does it in their daily lives. And He says this in verse 44, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God, and ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beast and of the fowl and of every living creature that moveth in the waters and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth." Now notice verse 47. "To make a difference between the unclean and the clean and between the beasts that may be eaten and the beasts that may not be." Now God said, I want to establish something. There is some clean things and there are some unclean things. There are some clean things and there are some unclean things. And I want you to know what is unclean and I want you to know what is clean and I want you to put a difference between them. Remember Peter, whenever that great sheet came out there in the book of Acts and all those creeping things and unclean beasts, and the Spirit of the Lord said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And he looked off in there and said, "No. No. I ain't doing it. I ain't never done it, and I'm not doing it now. Lord." Amen. "You're Lord, but ain't doing that." Well, the Lord was teaching Peter a principle. We don't have time to go into that, but that principle had been even way back yonder, that far ahead. Now go over to Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel 22. Now here's the... Here's why we ought maybe to preach more on holy living and sanctification, consecration, and all these things. All right? So we go from Leviticus, Moses, giving the law, giving the instructions to the children of Israel. We fast forward several years. Amen? And we come to a time whenever the children of Israel are in bondage, captivity. And in chapter 22 and verse number 26, God says this. Chapter 22 and verse number 26. "Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and clean. And have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them." Now, we'll read that again. I want you to catch some things. He said, "Her priests have violated my law." Now, the priests would have been the ones who would have been instructing the people. Remember, whenever God divided the land, He gave the 12 tribes, but He never gave the Levites anything. And what he did is he spread the Levites out among the whole nation. All right? They had all the major cities in a certain limit of time, a space, I mean. And they were to make sure that the people, because not everybody could travel down to Jerusalem every Saturday and worship. And so they would have places, what we would know in the New Testament as synagogues or places of worship. And every week, those priests would be responsible to teach the people the law of God. Remember some of the kings. Ezra was one of those that taught the people and made a distinction in all those things. You getting this? Amen? Come on now. All right, so here we are. We fast forward, and God says, now my priests have failed in one area. They failed in a lot, but they failed in one. And he said, her priests have violated my law. Not what I suggested, but my law. Now, I want to get this. And have profaned mine holy things. So the things that we're talking about being holy, like the Sabbath day, like certain things they would eat and not eat, certain things they would do and not do, was not instituted by the priest or even by Moses per se, but by God Almighty inspiring Moses and the priest to teach these things. And so it wasn't, what is wrong with eating a fish without scales as opposed to a fish with scales? By the way, I kind of like catfish. But to the Jews, they couldn't eat them. Had to have scales. Now, let me tell you something. A fish is a fish until God put a difference between them. And when God said the children of Israel can eat whatever he could eat, whatever we're talking about, and they began to dabble in practices like the heathen around them, they began to violate the law of God, and the holy things were not holy anymore. And what I'm saying is we're living in a society, in a culture today, inside religion, where holy things are no longer holy things. And we need to get back to where holy things are holy things. So he said, my priests have violated mine holy things. Now here's what they've done. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. And here's how we practice that today. Well, what's the difference? Well, there is a difference. Well, that's just the way you believe it. No, there are some holy things. And there are some unholy things. That the people of God, me, you, all the church, ought to understand and practice and abstain from. As the people of God. Not the Sunday night crowd. Not because we're the Wednesday night crowd. Or any other thing. But because we're the people of God. And the Bible says here, her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they, now notice this word, showed or demonstrated a difference between the unclean and the clean. They've not had a practice where the unclean things and the clean things are separated. You go back and read the history in the kings and in the prophets, and you'll find that Israel, it wasn't long, by introduction of Solomon and those wives that turned his heart, that many of their practices were contrary to the teaching of God's word. He brought in gods that were from Egypt and all those surrounding areas, and he built shrines to them, and it wasn't long before those women said, listen, Solomon, old Junior here's getting baptized in the pagan God assembly tomorrow, and we expect you to be there. Well, what's he going to do? He's already got a headache. He ain't going to add to it, so he goes. Huh. Solomon, Junior number 74, is getting baptized down yonder at the pagan God tomorrow, and we expect you to be there. And he begins to accept practices that are not right. He begins, if you read Ecclesiastes, he begins to indulge in the things of this world. And then Rehoboam, and there were some good kings, but in the northern kingdom there was not a good one, and they began to indulge. They didn't put a difference. Remember Jeroboam, that first Jeroboam king? He said, listen, he said, if them people go back down there to Rehoboam, he said, they'll get to liking him, kill me. I'm going to be in a heap of a mess. So I'm going to build me two altars like theirs. See, that's the way the devil's deceiving our world today. Much of what's going on in Christianity is like ours, but it's not ours. They went out from us, but they were not all of us. If they had been of us, they'd have remained with us. And they go out because they're not of us. And the Bible says, listen, the Bible says they began to practice things. Jeroboam, and you read through the book that'd be 2 Samuel, no, that'd be 1 Kings and 2 Kings, and many times there's a reference to this. And they departed not from the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. And they began to practice things that were not right, things that were unholy. And the fault of that falls on the priest. And I believe today, without exception, the fault of not distinguishing between the holy and the unholy falls on two groups of people. I believe it falls on the pulpit all across America. And I believe it falls on the men sitting in the pew and living in the home. And we have compromised practices, maybe in the name of civil peace at home, and it is destroying our view of God. So what's the answer? So he said, they've not showed the difference between the unclean, and they have hid their eyes from my Sabbath. They've just, well, let's just overlook this. No, let's not. I'm telling you, there's some things holy that's connected with the church that ought to be respected. And it needs to be taught from the time they're little to the time that they're big. Holiness. Now, I don't want to, this ain't even in the note. We ain't even got to the message yet. Isn't that a blessing? I don't want to hound on a lot of these things. But I feel like we maybe ought to mention just a few. Just a few. Just understand that when we come to church, we're coming to a holy place to meet a holy God. The Bible said there's on the holy mount. It's interesting, whenever they went up to the Mount of the Mount Sinai, here's what God said. You read it over there. When they went up to Mount Sinai, God told Moses to set a border. Mark her off. Anybody that crosses that border dies. Man or beast. Y'all read that? All right. Tell me this. Who set the border? Wasn't God. God never told him where to set it. He just told him to set it. Go back there and read it. God never told him where to set it. He didn't say, in the Bible, it doesn't say, all right, now Moses, over there by, now this is the way God had told a woman to do it. You know, over by that tree that kind of leans like this, but doesn't go like, and that one, you know? Not east, west, north, and south. You know by that, you remember that leaf that used to, that little twig that used to lean like this? Yeah, that's where I want you at. No, God didn't tell you. He said, you just put her anywhere you want, put the border, and wherever that border is established as the law. Let me give you some holy things. We've profaned the book. Churches have allowed the book to be profaned. Listen, this is a holy Bible. I remember one time, I can't remember which one of these kids, I think it's one of your kids that was, you know, they're grown now, but they came up and they said, Brother Tim, could we have a holy Bible? And I knew they had a Bible, and I said, you got a Bible? And they said, yeah, but we don't have a holy Bible. Ain't holy written on it, amen? Man, we have profaned the Bible today. We have made the Bible a common, ordinary book. This is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. This is settled forever in heaven, and one day will be our judge. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, we have profaned the Word of God today in many churches. In fact, in many churches today, the Bible is not even the central message that's being preached. There's no way that some of these churches are preaching out of the Bible and having the sin in their churches. Just not happening. Sure not. I don't know how to hound on this, but I'll tell you what, I believe this right in here is a holy place. I believe outside them doors is the outer court. But I believe when we walk in here, we're walking in here to meet with God. You say, well, preacher, I tell you them kids, hey, some of them kids don't bother me as much as I watch some others that are not kids in the church of God. Do their nails. Some of you guys need to quit that. Yeah. You ought to have to clean the church 1 week. And you'd see some of the filth that we have in our church. You know why? Because we don't count it as a sacred place. The Bible says whenever that priest went in to offer those sacrifices into the Holy of Holies, there was two things he had to have on that robe. He had to have bells on the bottom, and he had to have a rope tied around him. And if as long as he was moving in the Holy of Holies, they knew he was alive. If those bells ever quit ringing, they knew to pull the rope because he is a dead man. And they couldn't go in there and get him, so they tied a rope on him. And he had to go through that thick curtain. And thank God Jesus Christ one day tore that veil away, and now we can enter into the Holy of Holies. But we're not going to enter there, ladies and gentlemen, with sin in our lives. I'm just telling you, this building, this part right here, I believe is a sacred place to enter into worship. Now, I don't believe we have to sit here, as maybe some of our forefathers in the Baptist, primitive Baptists may have thought, amen, men on one side, women on the other side, no instruments, sit here in solitude and listen. No, I think there's all right to enjoy the house of the Lord, but I think we need to understand it's holy. Baptism is holy. It's a holy ordinance given to us by God. And there are other churches around here that have desecrated that holy ordinance that God has given us. I believe there's some difference between us baptizing and other people baptizing. Sure do. I believe the Lord's Supper is holy. The Lord's Supper never becomes Jesus Christ, His blood, nor His flesh. And those that preach that are false teachers. It is a holy ordinance given by God to the local New Testament church to practice in remembrance of what He did for us. I believe church membership ought to be taken seriously. I believe it's a holy thing to be a member of the church. We are a holy people. Now, I'm just trying to set, there are some things that have been profaned in our day and age. And I don't want to harp on them, I don't want to hound on them, but I think it's necessary. We understand today there have been some priests, preachers of all kinds that have violated and have not set the difference between the holy and profane. We've allowed things even in our own local New Testament church, Sweet Springs Baptist Church, to continue that were not holy practices. People living in fornication. People living with hate in their heart. They're the same. People practicing things of drinking. Now listen, we're a holy people. And if we're going to be a church, then we need to be a holy church. And we need to practice holiness in such a manner that there's a difference between the clean and the unclean. You're just trying to be better than everybody else. No, I'll tell you what I'm trying to be better than. I'm trying to be better than what I was. Yeah. So go over in Ezekiel chapter 22 there, or from chapter 22 to chapter 44. Chapter 44. And Ezekiel chapter 44. And look down, I don't want to read all, I just want to get to verse 23. And I want you to see what the Bible says. And they shall teach my people, Ezekiel 44, 23, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. I want you to teach the difference between the holy and profane, so that people can discern the difference. I believe today, maybe, we may lack discernment in what is holy and unholy, clean and unclean. Whenever I was growing up, maybe many of you grew up around a generation that if you wasn't saved, let me put that where your folks you grew up around wasn't saved, they had practices that seemed cool, but for a Christian, they're unholy. I tell you what, it's a good thing chewing is not clean. I'd have Red Man right here. My dad used to chew Red Man. Y'all know who Red Man is? Well, they raised it, and he got mad at him, so he went to Levi Garrett, which was the same price. But he wasn't just chewing Red Man anymore. And he never did. But boy, he'd chew Levi Garrett. And I enjoyed chewing. So I steal his. Well, he'd find it out all the time. I don't know how he found out. But man, I got to where that you either had two things with the juice, either you swallowed it or spit it. Either way, it'll work. Some of you probably chewed. Some of you ladies. I had a grandma smoked. All right? Not good, bad, or otherwise. I'm just telling you, we grew around practice. But you know, when I became a Christian, now I wasn't chewing long. I, you know, my mom threw such a fit. She ruined everything. So I didn't chew much. And so I chewed a lot of gum. All right? I still chew a lot of gum. It's either gum or tobacco. Whichever all y'all want. Amen? I'm okay with either one. Get me a little spitter up here and I can chew and I can preach. And now you guys may want to back up a little bit. But I'm just saying, when I became a Christian, there were certain things that I realized that as a Christian, I couldn't do anymore. I was telling, I was over to Mission Center eating apple. And I put salt on my apple. How many put salt on their apple? Good, the saved ones do. The rest of you get sanctified, and you'll get, that's just the way I've always ate them. So one day, Brother Andrew asked me, he said, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. He said, where did you learn to put salt on your apple? I said, I was born that way. I said, that's the only thing I've ever known to do. He said, I have never seen that before in my life. I said, well, brother, you need to get around saved people. And I said, I'll tell you where I learned some things, Brother Andrew. I said, I learned some of that stuff running with my dad at the tavern. He goes, the tavern? He said, you been in the tavern? Like, I was there yesterday, you know. I said, no. I said, you know, I can remember sitting at the bar with my dad and them old men that whiz around. And I can remember them old men putting salt in their beer. Y'all remember that? Well, I couldn't drink beer, but I drank Sprite. So I thought, hey, same thing. So I put a little salt in Sprite. Don't knock it till you try it. So anyway, they'd have little stuff there every once in a while. Joe Rolanda, he'd throw stuff out, and so that's just what I did. But you know, I realized salt ain't bad, but no, that's not really true. Salt's good, the Bible says. Amen? Honey's bad and too much of it. Come on now. The Bible says honey's good, just a little. Too much of it will make you sick. You ever eat too much honey, you'll get a bellyache. Salt's good. help you, make you live longer, help you get to heaven. Probably sooner than you want to, but it's good. Amen? And so there were practices. So I grew up around people that had practices that were not like God's practices. So when I became a Christian, I had to be taught the difference between the holy and the profane. And then I had to exercise discernment to know how to live. Should I do this or should I not do this? Now, let me read the verse again. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. God said, your business as the pastor, or as the priest in this particular case, but as a pastor, is to teach the difference. There's a right way and a wrong way. Then you are to use or act with discernment in your daily life. Well, now let's get to preaching. Because that was really not in the notes, but it preached good. Amen? And so I believe what he's saying here is, be holy, for I am holy. And the problem today is that we have a group of people that believe that certain practices of living are acceptable to God when they're not acceptable. And that's why we have people that when they come, why they don't come to church is because they said, well, you know what, I'm doing this and God ain't whacked me yet. Do you know the Bible says the goodness of the Lord leadeth to repentance? They don't know how to respond to the goodness of God. Now, I believe there are some things that we need to understand are holy. Well, but just let me mention a couple here. Holy, I was talking to you about the church. Your body is the holy temple of God. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Your body is to be holy. Now you just stick with me here a minute. For all of us, how we treat our body, God is going to hold us accountable for one day. Yeah, what we take in, how we treat it, all of it. This is His temple, and it is to be holy. I was telling Suzanne today, she had put on Facebook, she's lost 22 or 5 or 7, I don't know how many pounds. She bought since some time, and we was talking a little bit about portions and all this. And I was telling her, I said, you know, Suzanne, I said, God began to deal with me. And I have been faithful, but I've lost some weight, praise God. But I have been trying to discipline myself in this area. The Bible says in, I think it's in Titus, and their God is their belly. And last year about this time, and maybe a little bit before this time, I began to look and I think, man, you're right, man. My God's my belly. It tells me what I'm going to do, when I'm going to do it, what I'm not going to do. And so I thought, that rascal ain't going to run me. And it kept me from some things being holy. The desires of the flesh. The practices of your life. Somebody said, you go on a diet? No, I ain't going to live on a diet. Amen? I just tried to bring my belly in subjection to Christ. But that has to do with the desires, the natural desires of your life. And I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just not talking about those sins that we want to knock everybody about. I'm talking about things that would defile our body. God told the children of Israel they couldn't put any marks on them. They couldn't do any cutting on them. They couldn't do any of these things. I think I was telling Miss Charlotte the other day, I noticed about a year ago, maybe it's longer than that, and I'm not much on this yet, but I may. I was telling Miss Charlotte the other day, I'm getting these wrinkle marks starting right here, and I'm not vain, I just don't like them. And I'm thinking about going and getting them whacked, stretched. So I'll preach at it. You ain't going to do that. They get too rough, I might. I looked at that picture in that bulletin. I looked at you better and said, good night. I look 70 years old. This is coming off. Holy smokes. Now, I don't want to be vain. I just don't want to get wrinkles right here. So So I got one, two. I'm either going to get Brother Greg and learn how to darken her up some. So if I come in next week and it's all dark, you'll know I did something. Amen. But you know, our body is to be the holy temple of God. Therefore, God didn't want them to take in, sir. What did he say? He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. The body of Jesus was not defiled by sin. Jesus never took anything into his body, never did anything to his body that would defile his body. And the body is holy. And we're to keep it holy. We're to keep it holy. You say, well, that's good preaching for them young people. That's good preaching for us old people. Holiness. You're to keep your ears holy. You're to keep your eyes holy. You're to keep your hands holy. Your whole life is to be holy. The body. Therefore, you're not allowed to do certain things with your body that the heathen do. Why? Because it's not holy. It's not holy. And one day you'll answer to God for what you let happen to your body. What you let happen to your body. It's a holy body. Turn your Bibles over to back to 1 Peter. Let me see. It's 6 o'clock. We started preaching at 20 after. So I'll get done here another 2 minutes and then I'll just preach this next week. Let's all say amen. Somebody asked me today, I think I can't hear. I was telling you this morning, I couldn't hear. One of them kids was saying something about preaching this morning. I said, yeah, the best part is when I said, let's go home. What was the best part? Amen. You don't have to say it. I know it. Notice the Bible says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. You see, whenever I was unsaved, I didn't know lust was bad. I didn't know those things were bad. I knew I had a general moral compass by my parents, but I didn't know chewing was bad. I didn't know drinking was bad. Well, I didn't know that. Why? Because they did it. My dad he wasn't much of a hypocrite. He didn't say, no, I'm going to drink, but don't you do it. It's bad for you. No, he didn't say that. My mom squawked a lot about it. I'm just saying, I didn't know things, and you didn't know things, but when we got saved, there is somebody inside of me that says, listen, use discernment, son, this is not right. Use discernment. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 4 real quick. And verse number 1, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us, in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. This is the goal. For the time of our, now notice, let's say that word, past life. Is that what he said? He said, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wines, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that you not run not with them to the same excess of rioting, of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. So God said, listen, we all did this. But we're living for the will of God now. And the will of God is that we should no longer live the rest of our time in the lust of the flesh of men, but we should, listen, it should have sufficed us to have lived that sinful life. I was telling you, I think I had an old preacher back home, and he is telling us one time, his name was Brother Logston, and he is saying he preached a funeral, a honky-tonk funeral is what he called it. He said it wasn't no Christian song, this old boy died, And so they played a bunch of old honky-tonk songs. Back there in the 80s, been honky-tonk songs. And he said, you know, Brother Tim, he said, I thought I was saved and sanctified. He said, until they got to playing them honky-tonk songs, he said, next thing I know, I looked down, he said, there's my leg, just getting right along with it. He said, I realize we ain't all sanctified, amen? Now, I'm here to tell you, this thing of sanctification is a daily work. I reject the idea of total sanctification here on earth. I've read some books. Charles Finney thought there was total sanctification. A few other guys that I've read thought there was, done great works for God. But there is no such thing as total sanctification here on this earth. I wish there was, hallelujah. I'd get in on that. One time totally sanctified, never have to worry about sin again, hallelujah. Problem is, I live around sinful people. That ain't the worst thing, I'm a sinful people. And so he said that. Now go over to Ephesians chapter 2, and then after this we're going to quit and start over again next week. Chapter 2 in Ephesians, verse 1. You know these verses, but I just want to emphasize what we're talking about in the past life. And since there was a past life, see, I'm not to live that way anymore. That's a past life. He emphasizes that word past. Now listen, if you got a past, just tonight, just put it back there. You say, well, preacher, I'm saved, but I'll tell you what, I've lived some ways that ought not to be. Okay, nothing you can do about it, but confess it and repent. Now, I'm not going to make light of it. I'm going to say you can confess it and repent of it. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsaketh it shall obtain mercy. Proverbs something. And the Bible says you can put it in the past. There's a past. Thank God there's a place to put it in the past. And when I got saved, my past life is gone. But if every sin that I've committed since I've been saved can be put under the blood, forgiven of God, washed, and hallelujah, I can walk with the Lord in the Spirit. So you may need tonight to get down to the altar and get some things put in the past. Put in the past. So let's read Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now listen. Wherein time, what's that next word? Past. You walked according to the course of this world. Just the way the world lived. I didn't know how to live any other way. I just raised that way. I lived according to the course of this world, according to the spirit of the prince of the power of the air. Notice this, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the past. Well, you didn't catch it. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, but God. That's the changing point. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love were with his loveness. So see, ladies and gentlemen, we all had a past, and I know I will hound on it, I just want to keep bringing it up. We need to understand that there's a past. We need to get out of that past. And as a Christian, we need to use discernment. And there are practices that we need to stop as believers that are present in this room today that are contrary to the teaching of God's Word. You say, well, Brother Tim, I just live like this. Well, quit. Lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Yeah. Let's do that. Say, well, I'm not sure this is wrong. Well, what is it? You're having a question about it, just yell out what it is and I'll tell you. Well, I think if we're unwilling to yell it out, maybe we kind of know what it is. Well, is stealing really wrong? Yeah, I think it is. I think there's somewhere in the Bible that says thou shalt not steal like 200 times. Not that many, but. Well, I don't know if some of you young people, some of these practices. I mean, we need to use discernment. See, if you're a Christian and a young person, you need to use discernment as much as an old person. I told you I'd quit and I'm going to. Father, we thank you for the day. And Lord, for the opportunity we have today to preach your word. And this surely was more of you than me, because nothing I preached had my own my notes. And Lord, I believe tonight our church, and especially me, God, especially me, needs to really discern the difference between the unclean and the clean, the holy and profane. And as the pastor, I need to lead the church into a sanctified way of living. But God, I can't make everybody live that way. And the Holy Ghost of God has to convict men and women, young and old, and give them discernment on practices of their life that needs to be changed, needs to be improved. And Lord, only the Holy Ghost and the Word of God can direct somebody into doing this. Lord, I can stand here and preach for 10 more hours, but unless the Holy Ghost of God gets a hold of us and convicts us of practices in the daily life, that's where this is, in the daily life, none of us are going to change. So Lord, help us. Some of us are hearing things and listening to things and looking at things and thinking on things and practicing things that, according to the Word of God, all of us, God, got that worldliness in us. You said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. But you said, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Can't love you and the world at the same time. You said, be ye holy, for I am holy. You said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, Lord, there are some practices that need to be done here in this church, in our lives, that we need to forsake, that, God, we need to put a difference between. There's the pastor, as men in our church here tonight. There are some men that need to go home and make some changes in their home, practices that are taking place that ought not to be. And, Lord, I believe that's the primary responsibility that falls on me and the men of this church, the heads of the home. And I pray, Father, tonight that you'll help us as a church. God, not to be holier-than-thou attitude, but God, to be holy people because we want to please you. Help us, our Father, tonight to live sanctified lives, holy lives, clean lives, lives that please you. You said, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Lord, I want to see you. And maybe that's why the churches of today are not seeing the power and the glory of God, is because we don't have holiness the way that we should. So help us here tonight, God, to discern, to know and to discern, to have distinction in our living, have distinction in the way that we act, have distinction in what we believe. In Christ we ask, for the power of God. Amen. With our heads bowed.